thanks to Melissa, Tony, Bill Stone, Nancy Barber. I think what they're doing here is wonderful. They're sort of continuing the legacy that Patrick Doyle began here with the Basilica. And this is one of the first really big steps in the sort of reinvigoration of our waterfront. And it's something worth celebrating. They've already got some wonderful events on the calendar for the summer. I know there's an art fair. There's a music festival in August. Yeah, so there is a website. And by the way, the new name for this facility is Basilica Hudson. It used to be Basilica Industria. It is now Basilica Hudson. And they have a website, and check in there, and you'll be able to find out what's coming here. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of wonderful events here. I've actually already been to many wonderful events at Basilica over the years. Sam Pratt and myself are the directors of the Valley Alliance, a local grassroots citizens initiative, and we have for many, many years been involved with the development of Hudson's waterfront, going back to the St. Lawrence cement issue, which began in 1998. It's a long and complex story, and this evening we do not tend to overwhelm you with the details of every little aspect of it. There's an enormous amount of detail associated with this waterfront, its history, the waterfront plan that is presently being entertained by our city government. We could be here for hours just dealing with the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty. We think it's better to give you an overview of where we stand now. Sam will speak specifically to the issues that we have with the present draft LWRP, and there are many. We are greatly disappointed in it, and we think it could be vastly improved. We'll speak to that. Mark Wildunger is here from Scenic Hudson. That's a long-standing Hudson River Land Trust organization who has been very cooperative, very helpful, and we've been interacting with them as things have evolved. Hudson, at the moment, is reviewing what is called an LWRP. That's the acronym for Local Waterfront Revitalization Plan. It is a program that I think is about 30 years old. It's a wonderful idea. The basic premise is that all over the Hudson Valley and other places around the country, we have these old industrialized waterfronts which offer a lot of potential for recreation and also for enhanced commercial use and hopefully an enhanced tax base for the city. Most communities developed around water. Water was a source of transportation. It was the source of power. Almost every community in the United States, and particularly the ones here in the Hudson Valley, were located specifically because of their relationship to water. So governments at some point recognized that many of these waterfronts had issues. They had crumbling industrial structures. They had soil pollution. They had all kinds of issues. But they share one thing in common, which is that they're beautifully situated. Right here we have, you know, a beautiful view of the lighthouse, the Catskill Mountains. We have an island right off our shores. We have all kinds of wonderful things that we hope to see maximized, and we hope to see the city move ahead with the most forward-looking plan that we can possibly generate. The plan is being supervised at the state level by an agency of New York's Department of State. It is called Coastal Resources. Mr. George Stafford is the director of that agency. They take the responsibility for working with a community and developing a waterfront plan and then finally enacting it and passing it. When that is completed, the community is then eligible for technical assistance, grant money. You have a lot of opportunities that open up once you are an approved LWRP community. Hudson started this process in 1987. as you can see, we've been moving slowly. What is that, 24 years ago, if I'm not mistaken? The plan has been floundering along, but it has been accelerated and it has been moving along more expeditiously in the last 5 or 6 years. Immediately after the St. Lawrence cement battle ended, We got a terrific ruling from New York's Department of State. Secretary of State Randy Daniels at the time, during the Pataki administration, wrote a comprehensive 21-page ruling, which is available online if you care to read through it. And it's actually pretty good reading. It's not a bunch of technical mumbo jumbo. It's text that is easily processed and makes sense. And he laid out a future for our waterfront that we think is absolutely wonderful. The problem is that the city has not followed through and taken his suggestions, nor has the city paid particular attention to all the input that it solicited from its own citizens. I imagine quite a few of you here in the room were participants in the comment process. You had opportunities to participate in a planning and vision process. You had opportunities to submit comments. Many of you did so. We had overwhelming participation in that process. Unfortunately, it has not yielded a draft document that is in sync with the community sentiment. And the Department of State specifically indicates that they want these LWRPs to be the product of what they call community consensus. An LWRP is not something that's supposed to be dictated to us by the Department of State or by a lawyer and a planning firm behind closed doors. It is something that is supposed to reflect the sentiments of the citizenry. And we are pushing as hard as we possibly can to make sure that that happens. The review process is a little bit complicated. I'll give you the bare bones of it. At some point, the city of Hudson, some point in the next few months, the city of Hudson has two documents that it has to deal with: the LWRP plan itself and an environmental impact statement that accompanies the LWRP. They will pass those probably as separate pieces. And then those will go under review at two levels, once at the Department of State in Albany, and then once again by a federal agency called NOAA, that is the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. So we are going to supply as much commentary to those agencies as we possibly can. We're going to make it very clear to them the sentiments of this community and our hopes and dreams and wishes for our waterfront. And hopefully we'll get a good result and some rulings from them that will help push our plan in a better direction. At the moment, what is being proposed for our waterfront is a temporary truck route that would take dump trucks coming out of the quarries up on Newman Road, crossing Route 9 near the CAS plant, or what is the former CAS plant, coming down to Route 9G, crossing that highway, cutting directly through the middle of South Bay, taking a right turn and coming about a half a mile north along the railroad tracks, crossing a railroad spur, then taking a left turn across the Broad Street railroad tracks, and then another left turn into the dock area where they would dump their gravel. It's a circuitous, complicated, and dangerous route that we think is going to impose unacceptable impacts on our community. The Broad Street railroad crossing alone is a nightmare. There are 26 or 27 trains a day coming through Hudson. He said we have 13 passenger trains going north, 13 passenger trains going south every day, and then a freight or two. And there's a bit of traffic, the little short train that goes up right through the city of Hudson on the rail spur that goes up to ADM Milling. So what is being proposed in the LWRP document is that these trucks, run by a construction company out of Torrington, Connecticut, called ONG Industries, would come out of the quarry and have to cross that set of railroad tracks right out here. They'd have to cross the railroad spur, and they'd have to deal with 26 or 27 trains a day. And the trucks, of course, would be making a round trip, going in over the tracks with a full load and then coming out. Now, anybody who lives in the First Ward, you've probably already witnessed incidents where there's a significant backlog of trucks trying to get in and out of that dock area. It would result in a steady parade of 40-ton gravel trucks, diesel-powered gravel trucks, right past the front door of this facility here. There is an alternative route being suggested in the LWRP. What the current draft of the LWRP suggests that we live with a truck route directly through South Bay for some period of time, and then, and that period of time is unspecified, there's no particularly tight language surrounding that. At some point in the future, there would be an alternative route established right here along the railroad spur, and the truck traffic, instead of crossing the highway on 9G down in the wetlands, the truck traffic would come up north on 9G and then take a left and skirt along the edge of L&B, the big facility that's right over here. It's the opinion of the Valley Alliance that this is all just unacceptable. There isn't enough economic upside in this plan to offset all the downside. We're not hearing talk of a lot of jobs. We're not hearing talk of enhanced tax revenue for the city. We just don't see the upside. And we think that if Hudson's waterfront were developed in a more progressive way, that there's a lot more for all of us in terms of economic upside. This project spans two municipalities. Greenport, a town of Greenport, which literally surrounds Hudson, is where the quarry sits. So that municipality has some permitting authority. And in fact, the applicant, ONG Industries, for about a year and a half now, has had an application in front of the Greenport Planning Commission, which has been meeting a tremendous amount of resistance. And we're pleased and surprised. We were kind of concerned that the town of Greenport would roll over and hand them the permits immediately. They have not. They've been doing their due diligence. They've asked for a lot of studies. They've been pretty cranky and pretty resistant to this permit application, which from our perspective is great. One of the procedural, and this is a sort of an inside baseball kind of thing, but one of the little procedural quirks of a project like this is that when an industrial permit spans two municipalities, and in our case that's Greenport and Hudson, those two municipalities are supposed to get together and review the permit together. It's not legal to segment the review. In other words, go to one community where you think you might have an easier time navigating the politics and then knock off that and move on to the other community. They're supposed to coordinate their review. And we have an attorney, Mr. Warren Raplansky, who's based in Pine Plains, New York, who's the consultant to a lot of the planning commissions in the Hudson Valley, has a lot of experience with land use and planning law. And we've engaged him to make sure that the process and all the nuts and bolts of this are done correctly. We think there's already been some procedural violations in the way the process has played out. Scenic Hudson as well has their own attorney. So that's pretty much a summation of where things are at. Now, there's probably a few folks here who don't have a grasp of the entire lay of the land. It's actually fairly complicated. Holcim, the Swiss cement manufacturer, has about 1,800 acres in the city of Hudson, in Hudson and Greenport combined. And they hope to mine rock in the former Atlas cement quarry up on Newman Road, which is worth seeing. If you haven't seen it, it's a remarkable place. It's sort of the Grand Canyon of the East, and extraordinary. What they would like to do is come directly west out of that quarry, cross 9G, and down through the wetlands. So there's quite a bit to see, and I've been offering waterfront tours to anybody who would like to take a 45-minute trip with me and see the landscape on the ground. It really makes a difference when you get your feet on the ground and see it for real. There are a couple of little peninsulas that actually sit west of the railroad tracks down near South Bay. Those are very interesting. One of them is locally known as Sandy Beach, and the other one is known as East Jesus. And I have no idea how they acquired those names, but I think they both served as romantic venues here in the Hudson area for many decades. So what is being proposed in the LWRP, in the draft LWRP, is that the cement manufacturer Holcim, who owns South Bay, would cede or give up title to most of South Bay in trade for getting an industrial corridor right through the middle of it. They also are proposing to give away these little peninsulas of land on the west side of the railroad tracks immediately abutting the river. They're beautiful little peninsulas. They're wonderful places to go down there and have a sandwich or maybe do a little fishing. But the problem is they're inaccessible. There is no way in the world that the city can make use of them. The trip down there is fraught with all kinds of railroad right-of-way issues, safety issues. It's just not practicable. And so if anyone has any interest in taking this tour, and I've done this with a number of folks in the room already, I'd be happy to take the time. I learn something new every time I do it, and it'll really help you get a grasp of the whole situation. So that's pretty much it for my portion. Sam's going to speak more specifically to the draft document as it exists now. He's got some visuals. And then we're going to get into a question and answer session. We really think the most productive part of this process will be to hear your thoughts, your concerns, your questions. The city of Hudson might not listen to you, but we will. So, okay, here's Sam.